Welcome to another year. Welcome 2010 or 2010, which will be the way of pronunciation. Welcome 2010 and welcome the biggest year for spiritual growth. That's what the Lord's telling me. This will be an unprecedented opportunity for spiritual growth, unlike any year in the past 1,000 years. I stated it on my Facebook page, just like that, just straight off, boom, from the Spirit. That's it. And of course, there is no spiritual growth when there is easy pickings. Now, I've been toe-to-toe with the devil in the past weeks and been oppressed and pushed down and really struggled to where, you know, I couldn't do anything, to where I just couldn't get up. I couldn't really function. I was being sapped of all my energy. And I could tell it was, you know, it was them doing it. It was being done to me, being sapped. I prayed protection. I prayed to reverse it. I detected it and sent it back. Sure, I did all those things. And it finally lifted. And I realized that the individuals involved, well, we're going to have to talk about this. Step one of spiritual growth: know who you are. You, a Lamb of God, know who you are. The best way to start knowing who you are is to know how they see you. A big light. And what's a big light have? What's a big light? It's burning bright because why? You don't see your big light when you look in the mirror. I know that. They see it because they are in another dimension, even though we're all sharing the same space, theoretically at least. But that's not really what's happening. So you're a big light because you're not compromised with the world. That makes you a big light. You burn brightly. And what does that do? It attracts darkness, yes. It attracts bugs. It attracts those who need a fix. And if they're not going to spill blood, they're going to feed off that big light. When they see that light, they're going to go to it and try to get close to it. And you may not even know it, but they're going to start taking from you, invading you, invading your insides. And look, this happened to me. I couldn't detect who was doing it. But, you know, high-level sorcery. What was the goal? To just drain me like a vampire. To where I just had nothing. You know, where I couldn't do anything. And it was a conscious thing. And I'm just telling you that you won't know who's doing it. All you'll know is that you don't feel good. That you are just barely getting through the day. Because when you have a day where you're energized, where your health is up, when you're not being fettered by this, you're feeling, you almost have a sense of euphoria. You know what feeling good is. Just because you're a big light doesn't mean that you're going to feel good. Anyway, they need the big light because they use it to survive. I mean, they feed off each other, which is a little light. A little spark, as someone called it in the music business. And that little spark cannot hardly feed them. So they need to sacrifice. Yeah, that's where the human sacrifice comes in. Because that's like getting all that energy, right? Getting pumped up again so they can go again another day. It's Friday, the 1st of January, 2010. It's exactly 6:16 a.m., 19 degrees outside. Well, that's pretty warm compared to the way it's been lately. I'm just reading off a clock. I've got like an atomic clock on the wall. Probably everyone got one of these gifts at some time in your life. I couldn't resist. I saw it on sale for, you know, $2 or something, and I had to have it. It's been pretty cool, really. I have enjoyed it, you know, the idea of knowing exactly what time it is. What's really scary is my phone. When I upgraded, you know, and the thing is, you know, if I'm going to have it on my person, I turn it off now because I don't want the EMF, right? But it has like a GPS thing, but wherever I go, and it doesn't matter what time zone I'm in, it switches the time zone because it knows where it and whoever else wants to know knows exactly where I am at all times. This is like having a monitoring device tied to my leg. When I do the GPS, it goes, you are here, knows exactly where I am. And I say, I want to find a Chinese restaurant in Los Angeles, let's say. So it gives me a list beginning what's closest. So I pick one and I say, okay, I want to go there. And then it barks out instructions for me to go there, a phone, or it'll play podcasts and music, or it will be a phone that you can hold it up to your ear and get a brain tumor, whatever. Anyway, it's quite amazing. You know, if they've got that for consumers, you can imagine what the military-industrial complex has. And I'm willing to admit some psychotronic weaponry could have been used in my case. But what I'm saying is, more than likely, these are people who need a fix. And they fixate on you. And the way to stop it is, first of all, to detect it. To detect it. One must detect any... And it's obviously a form of witchcraft. So all of this is witchcraft. Yes, witches are in league with Satan. That's what makes them witches. There is no witch that is not in league with Satan. And if they say they're not, then the joke's on you if you believe that. Although I'm sure there are, just like everywhere else, some ignorant witches that from time to time, they'll say, we're just here to manipulate the earth and to Make it great for everyone. Uh-huh, yes. Yeah, right, when they launch their curses. It says that a fool has no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself. When the wicked comes, then comes also contempt, with ignominy reproach. The words of a man's mouth are as deep waters, and the wellspring of wisdom as a flowing brook. It is not good to accept the person of the wicked, to overthrow the righteous in judgment. A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. Reading from Proverbs 18, 2 through 6. A fool is defined as someone that turns against God or rebels against God. That would be a biblical interpretation of a fool. A fool is one who says in his heart, there will be no judgment, there is no condemnation, there is no need of salvation, there is no need of God or worship of God, I can do what I want. This is a fool. But these are exalted in this world, and they are taught things in the occult. And anyone that has passed through has become also a PhD of the occult by nature of the overarching or the ruling demon of that particular principality that particular person is in. Therefore, they're inculcated with all kinds of knowledge, and other people are there to train them to use their power, because everyone that passes through gets a token. They get a power, but then they have to feed like a vampire. Once they're bitten, they have to learn to feed on the innocent, correct? That is the non-vampires. They can take some blood from one another just to get started, but eventually they must feed. That is, they must find a big light and they must suck it dry. The intended victim will not know exactly what's happening. And then they ask, oh, you look tired today. You must be tired. And they know the result, that they are tapping into a certain amount of energy. And if they want you to stay around, they won't drain you completely. They won't drain you completely. Molly just jumped. What is it, Molly? They won't drain you completely, but they'll just feed off you like a host, taking you to your limit. Oh, you're very tired today. Taking you to the limit. Oh, you're very tired today. Then they know, oh, how are you feeling? Oh, I'm tired today. Then they know, okay, that's about the limit for today. Let's come back and drink from the well tomorrow. Let's feed off the big light tomorrow. Let's get that electrical infusion. Like, let's drain that battery tomorrow. So we get for ourselves, let's have a few of these lambs of God around so we can feed off them by hooking up our electrical circuits and go ahead and drain those batteries. Now, this is the practical daily thing that's going on. And again, in the workplace, you would know it as basically, you wouldn't know exactly who is doing it, but you must understand that the people that have passed through who are there in your workplace, they know all this stuff of how to drain a battery. You are a battery with a full charge. When they're working on you, they drain you, and you can't really get out of it. And then you may note the people that are feeling especially good around you at that point. Those are more than likely the candidates are the people that are draining you a big light, and then your light dims. You see, but to become like them, you'd have to have a low spark, a low light. That's what they are. They're a low light. They need to get pumped up with light and energy. So they have to feed off you, the living, because they are the dead, and the dead, the vampires, have to keep drinking blood. You understand that now? The vampire stories were simply a metaphor of a reality in this world that exists. Of course, the going with the pagan sacrifices and the blood drinking of had to do with as much not just killing the innocent victim and feeding off the soul, but then drinking the blood and really filling up. Because without that sacrifice, there would be no filling up. In other words, they would all be drained because they have no life unless it's artificial, meaning off other people. They get by on you. Now, this really burns me up. They have their own ethics. In other words, you should understand that they have a need to feed off you, off your energy, which is why they invite you. They have you around. And then they'll ask you, oh, are you tired today? You look a little tired. Because they know what they've been doing in the darkness that you can't see. This is a bigger issue than the New World Order, than the tax on everything, or whatever else they're going to do, which is nothing new in this world. This is the, if you ever learn anything in this life, you better learn about this. Because if you're perpetually drained by those around you who are feeding, and they'll never tell you what they're doing to you, you will be ineffective, you will be depressed, you will be down while they are up, and it will be a perpetual dragging on day after day. Now, don't start looking around for who's doing it, and then you're going to go bind and cast out and do all that stuff. That's not going to help you. Millions and millions and millions have tried that and failed. They've failed because that's not God's will. God's will is that you remain whole in your person, undrainable. That's God's will. Read the Bible sometime, you'll see that. Not going out and running after every target that's moving around out there. These are just dead lights that need to be pumped up so they can have light, or so they can breathe, or so they can live, or so they can whatever. It's a need they have. It's a survival need. That's why they're so good at it. It's like hooking up a siphon into your gas tank and draining all the gas until you have hardly any gas, just enough to get to that next gas station at best, not enough to go out on a joyride somewhere or a cruise somewhere and, you know, flooring it down the freeway or whatever you're going to do. No, to drain it so that you're just barely moving, so that you're just barely existing. I don't think I could have brought this message to you any earlier than the first day of the new year. Now that I've understand it so acutely, so perfectly, so in my face, so resolutely, so unmistakably, that I bring it to you as the most important message you will hear, at least for the beginning of this year. Most of you suffer because you are being siphoned off. You are being sucked dry. You're being taken down. That's all of you. Any one of you who is a light. Those of you who are on the other side, it doesn't matter. They will recruit you, be friends with you, try to be nice to you because they're looking to feed. We've talked about this before, but never with such acuity as now. And the reason we have to be acute in this is because it needs to be arrested for 2010 right now, right here, right now. No exceptions, no exceptions, no excuses. We're going to learn how to shut it off. Now, number one, by putting it into your consciousness now, you are actually being able to detect this. In other words, you are being able to see what the most important issue the Lord would have for you in the first day of the year is. This. Because without getting this, you can't progress. You cannot succeed in life. You cannot be happy, in other words. You cannot be vital. You can't be ministering because you've got nothing. You're empty. Many will go try to fill up on the wrong sorts of things when they're empty. Because you, at that point you go, well, prayer is good, but maybe prayer with a double shot of whatever. I mean, you know what I'm saying. Something. And it won't work. None of that stuff will work. Not alcohol, not drugs, not some illicit behavior on the internet or on Craigslist or anything else. Some sin is going to help fill that up. There is only one. In fact, you should never be doing that anyway. But if you are tempted into those things, perhaps because you're not happy. Is Jesus enough? Obviously not for you. Because you see, you're still tempted. He's not filling you up, is he? And I'm contending that it's not Jesus is not the problem. The problem is that you're being drained by those around you. You're being killed. You're being siphoned off by a parasite. And they keep you around. The reason they don't kill you is because you're like an energy stop, an oasis. They keep you on this earth just for that. What should a big light do? A big light needs to bombard the parasites with power and authority and never be drained. But because it's gone undetected, you've been anemic all this time. All this time, you could have been effective, but you tried this, it didn't work. You tried that, it didn't work. You didn't follow through on this. And here we are at New Year's resolution time. I'll bet you guys want to get in shape. I'll bet you want to, you know, get on the right kind of eating plan or you want to go to the gym a couple, you know, times a day. I don't know what it is, but you want to get your regimen going. You want to be disciplined. You want to glorify God. You want to be disciplined. You want to succeed. And the reason you have not succeeded so far is because you were drained. Because they drained you. Because other people consciously drained you on purpose through the mind and through witchcraft and through those powers and through those principalities. They did it on purpose. They did it with specificity. They did it scientifically. And they did it to you daily because they know who you are. And for years, you have been just crawling along and you wonder why you don't die. The reason you don't die is because they want to keep you around. They want to keep you around to keep feeding off you until there's nothing left. Then they'll kick you off the cliff. When you no longer can give them anything. I will tell you right now, if you don't take this bull by the horns and kick its butt and cut its head off now, they'll just kill you. You'll be ineffective. You'll be nowhere. You'll do nothing. You will limp along. You'll be sad, depressed, suicidal, and everything else every day. Because they'll also feed off that bad feeling you have. But you wouldn't feel that way if you had energy. If you were the big light that the Lord made you. So, what we got to do is we got to stop that leak right now. We have to stop that situation right now because we can't go on. I mean, what good is it doing Bible study now? What good is it delving in when you're being drained of even any interest in it? And it would all be a chore. No, you should study the Bible and read the Bible when you're feeling up because you know that as you eat of the Word, you get filled up. But that hasn't happened in how long? How long? All of 2009 is a blur. I'm telling you right now, the only purpose that you've got now is to glorify God and you glorify Him by existing in health, in happiness, in power. Anything less doesn't work. It's glorification of God is your empowerment. That's because they then see God's glory in you. And when they drain you, they don't see God's glory in you. They go, see, God doesn't exist. So you can't glorify God unless you are on fire with great attitude, with great energy. Without that, you can't glorify God, because they go, oh, just another victim. You see, and they go, oh, thank God we're on our side. Look what we did to that person. Look, they don't have anything to fight back with. I guess we win and they lose. There is no God. You see what I mean? You see how your failing actually hurts God. Your success is glorification of God. You see what I mean? Not you going out and doing something external glorifying God. No, it has to come from within you. That light has to be burning brightly. That confidence in the Lord has to be going. And they need to see that big glowing thing. And when they try to touch it, what happens when you touch a live wire? You get shocked and blown back and hurt. That's what has to happen to them. They won't learn through anything else. I dare say if they come too close, they need to be killed. Not by the human hand, but by the hand of the Almighty. Through you. And He's not really going to work through you if you're a victim on the side of the road and nothing is happening. I mean, and you know, you have to, as Jesus said, have the faith of a mustard seed. Without faith, they will just run over you. You have no faith. Admit it. You have very little to none, less than a mustard seed. And why is this? This is not your fault. This is why I'm here, to tell you about it. Oh gosh, if you could see how the devil and his minions laugh at the Christian. And of course, the last thing they would think of is any conversion, knowing what they do day and night to these lights that they drain like batteries. And that's why they exist in the world, for the vampires to drain it. That's why they let you live. The Lord wants to put an end to that today. So He will give you through this broadcast the supernatural means to accomplish it, by simply believing that He will deliver you from it and receiving the power of this word and receiving it in your soul, so that you know that no parasite, no devil, no group of people, no family members, no people that know the craft secretly but won't admit to it and cop to it. You're on the front lines. You need to not be drained and siphoned off by them. Otherwise, you're not on the front lines. You just say you are, but you're not really. God can't use people that are that easily pushed over. Now, how do you keep your power? The scripture says that you have the authority and power in Christ over all devils. Over all devils. And nothing by any means will hurt you, those who believe in Jesus. The word believe there is very important, because without faith, they will hurt you. You see. So then it stands to reason, there needs to be an amplification of faith and to know that nothing can hurt you. Now, if you detect that you're being drained, if you feel that, and negative, no one in Christ should ever have negative energy, ever. No one in Christ should ever go around like they can't do it, and this is bad, and the world sucks, it's all bad, it's going to hurt us. No one in Christ should ever have that, ever, no matter, even if they have cancer or on their deathbed, they should never have that attitude, not one day of walking with the Lord. I know, you've said faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, and you've heard the word of God, and you're still drained and unable to be effective. Am I right? Am I right? And so what we have to do is we have to figure out, okay, what's gone wrong? All right, you exist, a big light, and they have fed upon you. You have the power and authority over all devils and all of this all of these shenanigans of the enemy. There is no reason for you to ever have a depressed or negative day in Christ ever. You simply need to, when those feelings come, to know that it's an external source. That's not your natural state, and to not only resist it, but to get closer to Jesus Christ in that moment through hearing the Word of God, through prayer, through knowledge, through living the spiritual life, and then realize that the witches have no power over you to do those things to you. That is to drain you for the group, to drain you for the collective, or to be their private battery that they can just drain at will. This is who you are. So that's how they see you. Now, Satan is a house divided against himself. It's every man for himself in the satanic game. Everyone on that side is sniping at each other. You are just considered an idiot, a fool on the side of the road that is just free fruit. Free easy pickings, like taking candy from a baby. Because you obviously don't know about everything I've just said, and so therefore, you're an idiot. You know, we're idiots. Now, to detect this is the prophetic gift at work. To send it back, to take authority over it, is the will of God. If you don't take authority over it, then you are not doing the will of God. Therefore, there is no glorification of God. What's glorification of God? One who is in Christ, Christ-likeness. The fruits of the Spirit flowing forth. No matter what they throw at you, you continue to burn brightly to love, to honor, to exist on a much higher plane of existence than those around you, even if you are physically infirm. Failing just gives more power to the enemy, and that's unbiblical because it says that, you know, the Lord says, I give you power over all of the enemy, basically. And so nothing by will any means hurt you, but you have been hurt. So that scripture would be false. I can't read that to you because it's throwing pearls before swine right now. Because when I say that to you, you still go on with your bad attitude. This is not something you can fix by getting a good attitude, just by putting one on. If we can't get beyond this lesson, then we'll just have to be on this forever, because without this being mastered, there is no ability to go to the next level, which is to do the will of God on earth. There is no way. Knowing that you have the power over the enemy, you know, knowing what the Word of God says is it is good. I mean, you have to know that. You have to understand. Okay? So understanding who you are. They see you as a big light because you're not part of their collective. Therefore, you have not been drained. They will drain you secretly and keep you around in order then to feed themselves, because they need fresh stuff to feed on. And anyone, a light of Christ, anyone not over on that side would be a candidate. If they could, they would steal all your gifts too, your talents, everything that's in you, and leave you on the side of the road for dead. So, I just want to make it easier for you, because I just want to say the word that clicks it into place, so that from now on you never go back to this weakened state that you've been in. Number one, you already have the authority. So it's like Dorothy already has the shoes. If she taps them three times, she gets to go home. She had those the whole time. So you've had this the whole time you've been being drained, and so therefore when you complain about being drained or being beat up or being bandied about by spiritual wofa, you're making a misstatement because the Word of God says otherwise. In other words, you have the power and authority to not be in that weakened state, in that pathetic state, anytime, any day, 24/7, 365. I don't care how, you know, you might be physically drained. I mean, the effect of when they drain you is to drain you profoundly in the spirit and then physically. And they do it, you know, while you're sleeping. They do it while you're at work. They do it while you're shopping. All they have to see is the light. And when you're on that side, anyone that's glowing brightly, you can see it because they have been given those dark occultic gifts, and they're not going to tell you they have those gifts because that would blow their cover. They're trying to be just like you. They're not like you. These are the dead that inhabit the world, and that's when God comes to destroy. He's going to take most of these people out. That's where the wrath of God comes in Revelation, you know, in the bowls and vile judgments that come in the book of Revelation. And it also come in the form of the seals, and then after the seals, you know, you have, I mean, the whole thing is quite wrathful, you know, all the way through pretty much. And it's all about, you know, back in the day, God wanted the hybrids, and they're the masters of this issue I'm talking about. God wanted them slain and destroyed in the days of Noah. We had the great flood. You know, I mean, he's serious about getting, he doesn't like them, but see, Jesus, if you belong to the Lord Jesus, he's giving you that, you know, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Lord, he has given you the power over all devils and all the workings of the enemy, all, he doesn't say, not some, all, everything, and nothing by will any means hurt you. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. And then Jesus said, "For all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Heavy laden, that sounds like the big drain. "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." That's Matthew 12:28-30. So you see, the power to fill up from the drain of the enemy, to retain your big light, to pump it back up again, is to obviously rest in him. To put your mind upon Christ, upon the spiritual dimension. To understand and take authority that you've been given so you will glorify God, because not taking authority is a non-glory to God. Not living a great life. You know, what good is it if they see that you're living the same as or a little less than them? Now, can we open doors that allow them to do this vampirism? Yes. 2010 should be a time of closing all doors. Fasting and praying would be advised. However, that makes some people, fasting is eating like Daniel, you know, and getting off the world's food. I strongly recommend changing your diets. And once and for all, going with a grain, you know, based, whole grains, whole foods, and variety. Well, we can get into this later, but I mean, give yourself by all means that. But the knowledge is, if this is you in this category of being a big light, a big soul, who is meek and subtle like the Lord, he says, lowly at heart, you know, in other words, lowly and meek, So, but at the same time, you know, Jesus is a big light. At the same time, those in Christ who have faith rise above the worries and cares of this world, because we put our cares on him, therefore we've overcome the world because he has overcome the world. So being in him overcomes the world, gives us authority over all devils, over the entire world, in fact, ownership of the entire world and everything in it. Behaving as if we have nothing and are poured out vessels. Being poured out is one thing when it's done for the Lord. It's another thing when they take it from you and then leave you on the side of the road. When they can marvel over what a victim you are. Now, that doesn't mean they don't tease you or make fun of you. It's when you agree with them. When you start doubting yourself. When you can't get out of bed, when you can't move because your energy is drained, because they saw a big light and they drained it, because you had no protection, because you have not been walking in faith in the Spirit, you've been walking in your carnal flesh, and therefore are being, if you walk like them, folks, listen, they will be able to do that to you because you're not them, number one. So if you try to imitate them or slide by or be like them, they will just simply stick a siphon in you and drain it off. And puff themselves up, and they'll be happy while you're sad. They hang around to feed off the thing they're cut off from. And when they get it, they go, oh, what an idiot. I got both. I got my cake and eat it too. I got that, and I got the power of the devil, and I got the power of the world, and I've got the power of love, of the world's love behind me. And so I'll take and drain any light I see out there. I'm going to just siphon that battery off anywhere I see it. I'll pump myself up all the more and win all the more. And you have to understand the game they're playing is a losing game. It does them no good because if they don't wake up, they become the twice dead and hybrids, and the Lord will kill all hybrids. That's the end of them. Most of the people that are doing this to you, there is no rehabilitation for them. Sometimes your own children can do this to you. Your elders, your parents, your friends. The wheat and the tares have truly grown together. The tares outnumber the wheat 80-20. A lot of people who are conservative politically are these vampires. So politics means nothing. So what are you going to do? Number one. Detect, is this you? You know, when this, look, I can see it right now. The sadness that you feel right now, the sorry for yourselfness you feel right now, the feeling of being lost you feel right now, the feeling of being ineffective you feel right now, the feeling of what's the use that you feel right now. Not any one of those feelings is you. You're a big light, a big spirit, more than a conqueror. A big warrior, success story. Even if you have nothing, it doesn't matter. You have everything. So someone has sold you a bill of goods. And I contend that, first of all, your energy was drained. When they drain you of the spirit, the first thing you notice, let's get technical now. When they steal that power from the battery, the first thing you notice is that you feel tired. And kind of meandering and not focused and sort of out of it. They've done it to you, folks. They did it to you. And they've been doing it to you. And there are people around you doing it that are close to you. And the wheat and the tares are everywhere. So they're doing it to you daily. And you don't have the energy to do the work of Christ. You are not a glory unto God. Because he's not shining through you and showing himself to others through you. You are darkness. When your light starts glowing again, they take it down again, never allowing you to breathe yourself, but cruelly using you. Oh, yes, forgiveness. What's forgiveness? By not holding it against them, you are already in forgiveness. So that's that done. You don't need to lay blame. Then you start running after people and binding and loosing. And the thing is what are you going to do? run after everybody and every city and every all the whole world? That right there would be exhausting and would be ineffective. You would therefore do nothing. The thing you do is retain yourself. You retain your power. You retain the light. You retain the attitude. You retain, even if you're on your deathbed, you retain it all, and they can't take it from you. And they can't siphon it off, and some of them will fall to their knees in repentance because of that. That is a glory to God. This is the time to win this battle. And it's easy. All you have to do is you've always had the golden or the ruby red slippers. Is take your power back. Do not let these devils and fools take it from you. Know that when you walk around as a big light, the first thing they're going to do at a Borders bookstore or a restaurant is they're going to be in the back room or be in the bathroom where they can get quiet and mentally try to siphon it off of you. That's how they do it. To them, you look like free money. Because they're dead and they need to, the only way they can live is to feed. You'll get it now. Let them feed off the uninitiated one, the people who are not called by Jesus Christ, and then offer to help those people. Don't let them feed off you. That's anathema. That's an abomination. The reason this is happening in America, particularly, is because of the materialistic bent and the fact that all of us have been deceived by these churches who are beholden to Lucifer. There is no connection there between, say, Saddleback, Willow Creek, John MacArthur, any of these people, and God at all, because all their congregations are drained. They're not allowed to be a light. And all that, you can trace it right back to the 501c3 situation. You cannot have that oath to the state and be anything but Satan's bitch. Sorry to put it that way, but that's who you wind up being, and that's what all these bastards are. I don't care how much money that Rick Warren gives to charity, his connection to the CFR and probably the Bilderberg Group and everybody else shows him to be a reprobate jerk, a fool, someone that ought to have his mouth duct taped rather than speak at a podium. I wouldn't say it and blurt it out like that if it weren't true. I'm not here to prove it. I'll say it in the spirit. If it rings true in your spirit, then you know I tell the truth. I mean, to me, it's obvious, like on television. Now, I've seen that congregation at the Saddleback. I've seen that at the Crystal Cathedral of the Illuminati's Robert Schuller. I've seen these patrons of Satan posing as pastors. And I'm telling you, the congregations are kept intact so that the worldly ones can feed off the innocent and drain them of their light so they can't be effective. And that's the purpose of church. It's one being vampire, blood-sucking sacrifice that goes on every week. These people are so wishy-washy and so cowardly, the churchians, that you ask them to stand with you, they run and hide. Because many of them are doing that same practice. Now, when the Bible says you need to possess ye your souls, you need to retain your soul. The only way you can do that is to be a light, to be a big light, means to retain your soul, to not let them siphon it. If they siphon off your spiritual energy, then you'll feel it again in your loins. You'll feel it not just in your loins, but I mean in your bones, in your flesh, in your muscles. You see what I mean? You'll feel listless and tired. And some people say, I got fibromyalgia. That's BS. This is all part of this battle here. Or you can listen to like Patriot Radio and they'll tell you that the environment is doing it to you. That's why you can't move. It's the water and the toxins, and we can go on and on about that's all. That's what it is. That's not what it is. That's an excuse. That's not what it is. The Lord gave these bodies the power to overcome lots of toxins. It's not what it is. It gets better. It gets worse. The other thing that you forgot to think about is the fact that they want you around to eat their sins. They want you to absorb their sins while they take your light. They want that's their form of salvation, by sticking their sins on you and meanwhile draining your battery. And then they go, "Oh, what's wrong? Jesus not enough? You seem bummed out. You seem tired. Are you depressed?" Watch the ones who ask you how you're feeling, if you noticing that you look tired. Noticing that you look tired. Watch that. Now, how do we retain our souls? How do we retain our spiritual energy? How do we retain the big light? How do we keep the battery on full? How do we walk over scorpions and snakes with not only authority, but easily? How do we go in twos out there in the wilderness, taking only the clothes on the back of our back, on our backs, and go forward from one house to another, preaching the word? And to go out and prophesying in the name of Jesus, which is what's happening here, being this is prophetic, okay? So you need to take it to heart, because it is prophetic. This is a word that's come from the Lord today for you right now. You get this, you get pumped back up, you get able to do things. And then, you know, that's the first step on this walk. And that's the first thing for 2010, for the new year. That is the first thing. Don't blame your problems on the environment or what you're eating or the toxic this or that or the water. Don't do that. That's the excuse that the Patriot community that threw Jesus under the bus, that's what they do. While they parade on New Agers like the David Icke's of the world onto their shows and have this, and they say they're preaching and they have this newfangled kind of like, "I'm okay, you're okay, be a better person, eat organic food, blah, blah, blah." I mean, I say eat well. Yeah, I say eat to the extent you can eat well, but I mean, your spiritual power goes beyond food. The Lord can heal you beyond. If you can't get it, doesn't matter. You go beyond that. You don't need actually the world's food. If you eat it, it's not going to hurt you. Nothing will by any means hurt you. Those who obsess on all that are the New Agers. They're just as likely. They're going on and on about the foods, but it's really the witches among them, the sorcerers, practitioners that do that draining I'm talking about. Sometimes they do it for the group. They drain the lights and the batteries for the social group to distribute life to the people who are dead. Let me tell you, these dead people are anathema to the Lord, and the Lord will clean it up just as soon as possible with a world war, and he will strike everything with nuclear weapons and everything else, if need be, to, you know, bring fire from the sky to eliminate these vampires, these hybrids, these who have become twice dead. The twice dead are twice dead. That means no matter what, they're beyond. Okay, twice dead, what does it mean? To me, it means beyond repentance. It means unrepentant. I mean, it means so far gone that even though they walk around, there's no earthly use for them. These have no business siphoning off the battery power, the spiritual power of the lambs of God. And when we say lambs, we don't mean lambs that don't know anything about God, that don't know who they are, that they were chosen, that they were born, in fact, for a purpose. These are not the lambs of God. Those are lambs to the slaughter. That's different. Paul used a metaphor that we are lambs to the slaughter all day long, but he meant that metaphorically. We're really lambs of God. Jesus said to Peter, "Feed my lambs," and his lambs would be lambs of what? God. Yes? Amen. John 17 as well. So when you look at the dead out there, you know, try to understand that you have the ability to see between the dead and the twice dead. The dead, you know, to become twice dead would be to absolutely, you know, I believe that twice dead is actually tied in with the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, which is done by attributing the works of the devil to the works of God and vice versa. And then the sin unto death, which is taking the initiation of Satan and renouncing Jesus Christ forever and ever, thus passing through the other side, getting inculcated with all the occult knowledge and blah, 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 and trained up to be a siphoner off God's people, to be a vampire. Don't you have compassion for these people? Oh, sure, I have compassion. I'm sorry that they made such an idiotic choice in their lives. We have, you know, I'm sorry they chose slavery and chose to give up their free will in exchange for their slavery so they can have a few trinkets when this life is so fleeting. The next thing you know, they got Alzheimer's and they're up there with tubes coming in and out of them, being abused by nurses and kicked into the grave. I'm sorry about all that. But you know what? They made a choice. And I honor that choice because God honors it. I honor it. I don't trust anybody that goes around lamenting over all these people, what they've done. Lament over the ones that have a chance, but those who don't have a chance, walk away. Those who have made their minds up, walk away. Those who are dead and twice dead. From my understanding, a twice dead person seems to not be human anymore. There's nothing there of the humanness of the soul that is redeemable at that point. And we can go around and around, and we can perhaps another broadcast. I will go into that. You know, that would be, we can't do it right now today. This is not what's happening today. Today is about you really girding up your loins and that, you know, and taking on the spiritual power that you've been given. You know, how do you think these people who were infirm, they were fed infected, they had to live on maggots in prison and tainted water, how did they survive? People so worried about the toxicity and all that. That's an excuse. That's an excuse. That's an excuse. That's why I'm drained, because I really need to eat better. I need to get, you know, no. The first thing you need to do is stop the leak. Stop that open. Wherever they're getting in, you need to close that window, that door, whatever it is. Could be the desire for something in the world. Could be that you haven't been, you know, that you failed in that test, that you haven't really given it all to Christ. You haven't given it all to Jesus Christ. You're holding back something from the Lord. Idolatry, sin. You still have some man-worshipping tendencies. You still have sin open doors in your life. You got to close those. You've got to close those. You got to take an inventory and then realize that the answer is to rest in Him. You'll find rest for your souls at Him. It says rest for your souls. That is what they drain. So you want to rest those souls so you got power. And from the spiritual power comes the dynamic energy flowing through the body. This is more powerful than food. It's not food that gives you energy. It's the spiritual power that is the ultimate energy that can transcend food, transcend sickness, transcends all of it. And this is the joy. This is on a higher plane of existence than the world. If you live at the world's level, they're just going to kick you all over the field. But a child of God, a lamb of God, has no business being on that level. Ever. Because you've been delivered from that. The innocent out there who are being kicked around, those are the ones you want to reach. But you can't do it if you become like them. Faithless. Weak. Not weak in a way that God's strong, you're weak. No, weak. Now, when I'm weak, He is strong. What that means is when I'm not full of myself, when I'm weak, like when I'm meek at heart, then He can fill me up. The Lord's Holy Spirit fills you up. If you have the Holy Spirit strong in you, they can't siphon anything off of you. Anyway, if you're going to be who you are, and if you're not going to join them, if you're not going to be initiated onto their side, then you have to know who you are, i.e. a spiritual being, called and chosen by Jesus Christ Himself, called and chosen by Jesus Christ to be one of His lambs, who is also a lion and warrior in the name of Yeshua, Yahweh Elohim, who will go out and who will conduct himself or herself with an attitude of invincibility and conquering without boasting. In other words, retaining a meek spirit because relying fully on that power that He has. In other words, you are misaligned. You're not connected to God if you're getting kicked around and then you're complaining about the toxicity and this and that and all these things happening to you. And you're not even detecting that they are the ones draining you, that you think it's the environment. It's not the environment. It's actual people. These pathways, they cannot touch you. And no one who is in Christ can be touched in that way. So the connection with Christ is to rest in Him, to believe on Him, to take the authority of Christ over all devils and all the enemy, to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, to heart, and to realize that nothing by any means shall hurt you. Draining you is hurting you. If that's happened, that's a violation. It's a violation that you allowed to happen because you were not of the faith. You were disconnected somehow from yourself, who is a Lamb of God, because you have no other purpose on this life. If you're one, a Lamb of God, you were chosen to be that. You need to be that. Let them drain the uninitiated. You are initiated already. If you've received the baptism of fire by the Holy Ghost, you've been initiated. If you haven't received that, you need to be initiated. Maybe that's where your problem is. It also helps to have the Word of God on your lips, to know who you are and operate from that position. Because all the power and authority of all the universes and all of reality is with God, not with anyone else. The keys to life and death are with Jesus Christ and nowhere else. Then you need to be that and be that minister that you were called to be and be that person you were called to be and boldly go forth regardless of what anybody thinks. Close the doors and windows. They cannot siphon or drain a person that if they can't get in their house. If you open the doors and windows, they can come in. Separate yourselves from those who are practitioners. Separate yourselves. Bind. Those are the ones you want to bind up. Those are the ones you want to pray complete confusion on. Those are the ones who've already become twice dead. They've made their minds up. They belong to, not everyone. There are witches that repent. But in general, thou shalt not suffer a witch to live in Deuteronomy, which means when you have that commandment from the Almighty Lord, okay, what does that mean? That means you must cut them off spiritually because that's where life comes from the Spirit. So you can kill them spiritually. You can neuter them. Do it. Do the works. Be confident in them. Just like you can bring healing to the sick, you can neuter the enemy. And you don't even have to do it by consciously praying. You can just, again, be contained within yourself who you are. Then your presence does it automatically. The light stamps out the darkness. That would be witches, sorcerers, practitioners of any stripe, pagans in general who are very adamant about their idiotic way of death that they call life or hate that they call love. Any questions? I can't answer them because we're not live. But you can send me, let this be the opening salvo. I'm here to stir it up a bit, you know, to shake it up a bit. I'm not interested in anything other than total victory. Anything less than that, I'm not interested in. I'm not interested in hearing excuses like, this happened and that happened. And because of this, I couldn't serve the Lord. And because of that, I really couldn't serve the Lord. And then they stole my Bible. I couldn't really read the Bible. And you're full of excuses. And I'm addicted to all these things, and I'm weak, and I'm this and that, and so therefore you're not going to spread the gospel, are you? You're not going to pray life unto the dead, unto those who are dead, meaning the world, meaning, you know, you're not going to be life unto them because there's a million excuses, and you're not good enough for God in your own mind, so you have no faith, and then you wonder why you're being kicked all over the field and drained half the time by everybody around you. Look, they'll get in, they'll take your talents, They'll drain you. They'll take everything. And then they'll let you, they won't take you all the way down. Then they'll let you build up again. And then they do it again. It's scientific. It's just like going to the gas station, pumping your car with gas. It's the same thing. They do this every time they see a big light. What gets the work of the Lord done is when they attempt it and then it fails and backfires on them and you didn't do anything but be love to their hatred. To be life to their parasites. You retained yourself and didn't have to get bothered by their attempts. You were oblivious to them. That speaks volumes to them and spreads the gospel. Anything less, you can preach it with your lips all the time, but if you're not following it, if you're not living example, how are you going to convince anyone? Better someone keep their mouth shut and be that impresses. It impresses when they try it on you and they can't get anywhere, and furthermore, that you actually inspire some of them to change. Not through words, perhaps, but through your example. Your example being that you're just an overcomer because Jesus overcame, you overcame, because your heart is with Him, your rest is with Him, you automatically overcome. Therefore, they see it for real. And you're filled up again. If there are doors and windows open through your sinning, then you need to fast and pray. You need to separate yourself from the world. You need to separate yourself from other people. Especially from the goy. You need to separate yourself from them. And by all means, have no company and no real straight fellowship. Do not confide in devils. Do not confide in those who are compromised on the other side. Do not confide in those who are workers of iniquity in the and who enjoy the unfruitful works of darkness. Please separate yourselves from them, and by all means, do not invite them to break bread with you at your table. This is not to be tolerated. These are people that are unrepentant souls, and you cannot be friends with them. This is a war going on, and they are not your friend. If you do that, invite them to break bread, perhaps you are opening a big door and allowing them to siphon off the thing you will need to be able to continue in this world. But anyway, if you have any questions about this, you can write me at 5 Bisbee Court, 109, Box 16, Santa Fe, New Mexico, 87508. Address it to the Zeph Report. That's all. And we'd love to thank you for all the letters. Yes, I did get your letters. I just picked them up yesterday, the cards. Thank you very much. And I'm very, very excited about 2010 for spiritual growth. I think that you're not going to be the... No. I know. I don't think. I know. You're not going to be the same person that you were in 2000. In fact, you're going to be so different that no one will recognize you by the end of 2010. That's what will happen to you. You will find that everything is eliminated but the Word of God from your life. Just automatically. Just by the world's folly. By the world's idiocy. I find that in watching 2009, watching the Congress and the Senate go on, and watching drunk senators talk and looking at this whole political thing, and then listening to Patriot Radio, unfortunately I had needed something and I had it when I was driving cross country, and, God, you don't ever throw Jesus under the bus. That's what I would tell the Patriot community. It's too bad you did, because you are no longer the 9/11 truth. You're not truth anything. You have no truth. You have no spirit. You have no soul. You have no way to stand up. You have no way to fight back. You just sit there listening to ghost stories about how awful it's going to be and what they're going to do to you. And you sit there doing nothing except spreading around someone's videotapes, making them rich. Wow. You've been... And they tell you, don't listen to the mainstream. Don't listen to Fox News. I'm like, oh, my God. All of this has been hard to watch. But, I mean, it shows the ultimate need for Jesus Christ the Savior, doesn't it? Because the world, I mean, the stealing of all the money from the Americans with taxation, to let Goldman Sachs do that and have the Americans not rebel is absolutely a defeat of America. The way I look at America is already defeated. That's it. I saw the empire defeated over this last year between Bush and Obama. They pretty much did it in. That's what I watched. Will there be a revival? A revival. Will the Christians finally repent and accept the Lord Jesus for real? No, they won't. Answer, no, they will not. There will not be a revival in that church. In fact, there will be judgment against the church. Any other questions? With that, I bid you shalom, shalom. Love you. I pray for you. And it's good to talk to you again. But it's a painful talk, admittedly. That's a lot of people probably had to shut the broadcast off because it's not some tickle your ear, feel-good little fantasy that you get around the internet. So, sorry about that, but you need this. You need to absolutely walk in this light and be children of light, not Lucifer's children, the children of the true light, which is Jesus Christ. You need to be that, what you are, what you were chosen to be before the foundation of the world. You were already conformed to Christ. Your soul knows where it needs to go, in other words. You cannot allow them to drain you again. Understand? You can't allow it. It's just too. It's like kicking God in the face. It's like blaspheming Him at the throne. It's the way you win the battle is within yourself. It's you that don't go out there trying to bind and loose it. It's within you is the problem. And quit looking for loopholes and excuses to get yourself, to say you're a real believer, but you can't do anything. This is where Jesus was exasperated. He asked them to cast out some devils or demons, and they couldn't do it. You know, it's like he's been teaching them all this time. It's almost close to the end here, and they can't do a simple task. When you see they have the power to do that, he gave it to them. He gave you the power to contain yourself, to contain your souls. To possess ye your souls. So they can't drain the big light, the big battery, which is the spiritual power within you that you're given. You know, it's not to be frittered away and given out there. You're not a sacrificial victim. They stick their siphon tubes in and then suck off of you. You're not to be that. That is a blasphemy. That is not right. The first step is to say never again. And the second and third, fast and pray. Close up the loopholes. Close the doors up. Close the sin patterns. Close it all up. Make your mind up today. This is not going to happen again because the Lord doesn't want to hear your excuses. He does not want to hear why you can't do this and why you can't do that. Blaming the environment, blaming your friends, blaming people around you. You can't do that. Because the answer is within you. You have already the power to overcome all this. So the excuses are not necessary because they're not true. There is no excuse. I just want to go bury my father. Isn't that reasonable? And Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. Get away from me. In other words, he was cut off. He did not become a disciple of Christ. He had an excuse. He couldn't just go with him because his father died. It's perfectly reasonable to go take, how cold Jesus was. But that's it. It's that cut and dried. We must become like that. I don't care if they call you the hater of the year. It doesn't matter. Those who contain themselves are the ones that drive the world nuts. And they're the ones that do the most good for the Lord. And bring in the most souls for Jesus. These are the ones who do the real work of salvation, in a sense. That Jesus works through to do his work of salvation. He cannot work through someone of no faith. He can't work through someone that's drained off and siphoned off and lethargic and can't move around and doesn't understand why and blames the environment rather than blaming the complete inattentiveness to their own position in Christ and allowing others to be parasites. There's no excuse for you. Know now that they do this. Your daughter, your son, your father, your mother, your cousins, the people in the workplace, anyone. And if you have to bind some of them that you know they're doing it, just go ahead and, you know, send it back. But technically, you don't have to do that. You just have to get right between you and your Father through Jesus Christ. That alignment right there restores the energy, restores the faith, so that you don't let this happen again. Because you are no glory to God when you are just like the world, when you're just a victim. When people look at you as a victim and they go, oh, gee, looks like we were right after all. Huh, that Jesus is nothing. And that's what happens when you're not contained. When you run around doing everything outside yourself, running here, running there, everything is external, same thing happens. You become drained. One person contained walking through a mall does more good than 15 street preachers who may not be in that same state. With that, I bid you shalom, and this is it, and I'll see you next time. Do you get it? Do you get it?